720 WGN, John Landecker, 835. We got Car Talk. Tom Appel, publisher, Consumer Guide Automotive. Hey, Tom, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
Are you plugged in? Is your battery charged? Are you ready to go 350 miles between charges? What's going on?
Personally, no. My two cars are.
I'm telling you. I don't know, just this past week, it's like everywhere I turn, all of a sudden, it's like electric car this, electric car that. I'm listening to our great hockey show between 7 and 8 tonight. At the end of it, they're talking about taking pre-orders from for a all-electric Porsche that's coming out, I guess, at the end of the year or spring or fall. When is it coming out? You would know.
Oh, the Porsche Taycan, if that's what we're talking about,
yeah,
has been available in limited numbers for about 6 months now.
I see.
But production should ramp up soon.
I don't know if that's the one they're talking about or not, but I do have the sound, this is for real, of a turbo electric Porsche that's inside, I believe, the one of the covered stadiums. I think it's the one in New Orleans, and it is setting the indoor speed record of over 100 miles an hour, and it goes like this. What is the deal with this sudden push of electric, all-electric vehicles?
It's been interesting because General Motors sort of committed to it in a very big way, and other manufacturers have started jumping in. But one of the things that happened or has happened is that China and Western Europe are incentivizing the purchase and manufacturing of electric vehicles. So it's going to happen no matter what we think is going to happen. And though the last administration wasn't especially electric car friendly, it's expected that this administration will be.
Well, let's see. Where is this article from? Jaguar will be an all-electric car brand from 2025. GM from 2035. Also, you know, we've had Tesla for a while.
Mm-hmm.
There's also something called the Leaf, isn't there?
That's Nissan, yes.
Yeah. And these are not hybrids.
These are pure electric vehicles.
Pure electric vehicles. Well, that just, my mind goes in so many different directions. First of all, we are not an electrically vehicle. We are not a society that is based, the infrastructure of vehicles, automobiles, trucks, etc., are not electric based. They're combustible engine based. That's the way they're designed. That's the way they're built. They're manufactured. They're sold. That's why you have gas stations. That's why Texas is crazy. I'm serious. It is. There was just a statement, a couple of weeks ago, maybe longer, but the Texas governor making some sort of emphatic statement about how they're going to be, you know, the gasoline capital of the world or whatever it is. Not looking that way right now, of course, but, you know, we're talking factory workers, auto workers, dealerships. I mean, how is all of this going to be reworked as a society to switch over to these vehicles, especially since some manufacturers, that's all they're going to offer?
Yeah, it's an interesting question, and it does represent a massive paradigm shift. The North American Dealer Association, that's the group of car dealers, just finished their meeting for 2021, and though it was largely online, a lot of news came out of that meeting, and one of the big things that people are talking about is converting dealerships to handling electric vehicles.
Yeah.
And General Motors brand Cadillac, for example, is expecting dealers to cough up some fairly serious money to commit and prepare infrastructure and sales and technicians and things like that for EVs. And dealers that are not willing to come up with that money are being offered buyout offers so that they can back away from this if they don't want to move forward.
I mean, there are buyout offers in that they will not be a Cadillac dealership anymore?
Correct. They're buying back the franchises.
Wow. How soon is that going to happen?
It's going to happen over the next couple of years. It depends on the franchise agreements and how long the contracts were for. But you're finding that small Cadillac dealers are going to back away from this. And we're going to see that sort of thing happen at a lot of dealerships, I think. That we're going to see fewer larger dealerships that are going to be better prepared to handle this big shift.
Well, my son-in-law's had a Chevy Volt for a while. He's not new to it. And he had to... He installed, and so this goes back a few years, and I know there's been some improvement in this particular area of recharging the battery, how long it takes, etc. But he installed a specific port, for lack of a better term, on the side of his house that the Volt would plug into, and that would have to be something that all electric vehicle owners would have to deal with, obviously.
Yes, if you go with an electric vehicle, and this is why I think that EVs are going to be far more appealing to people who own houses or own apartment buildings where they can install charging stations, you're going to want to have a charge port at home.
Yeah.
That's level 2 charging. It's relatively affordable to install, maybe $400 or $500 for the station, maybe $400 or $500 to have it installed. With those, you can charge an electric vehicle at a rate of about 25 miles every hour.
And I would guess that as we speak, automobile manufacturers and scientists, etc., are attempting to find ways of improving on those figures all the way around. I mean, you can't just drive a car, an EV, across the country and stop every 350 miles and wait for X amount of hours for your battery to recharge.
No, what people are going to have to do is join a charging network.
Wow.
There are three major ones right now that I think are mostly national: EVgo, ChargePoint, and Electrify America. And they offer something called Level 3 charging, which is much faster than what you can do at home. And Chevrolet just reintroduced the Chevrolet Bolt with a B, was just redesigned. And they claim that using a Level 3 charger, you can pick up at about 100 miles of charge in a half an hour.
Wow. Tom Appel is with us. If you've got any questions about any kind of vehicle, electric, combustible, whatever. In fact, I was out with the dog walking yesterday, and the weather was decent enough that some little kids in my neighborhood, someone had gotten a little miniature battery-operated John Deere tractor and was driving that around. 312-981-7200. If you have any questions about anything to do with repair, cars, what do I do with my automobile now, this time of year, what's the new, what's hot, what's not, etc., 312-981-7200, and we will continue on when we come back on 720 WGN.
Oh, no, we're going to rock down to Electric Avenue, and then we'll take it higher.
Yeah, going to be driving your electric car down Electric Avenue sooner or later, or maybe not. John Landecker at 720 WGN, and we're talking all kinds of transportation and automobiles, from whatever to whatever, from the publisher Consumer Guide Automotive, Tom Appel, and taking your calls at 312-981-7200. Carrie's on the line with something about a Dodge Dakota. Carrie, hello. You're on WGN.
Yeah. Hey, John. Hey, Tom. I heard a rumor. I really like midsize pickups, and I heard a rumor that the Dodge Dakota might be coming back. Is that true?
Yes. The Dodge Dakota, which has lapsed now for the better part of a decade, was kind of the first midsize pickup truck. Before that, we referred to most pickup trucks, small pickup trucks, as small or compact. So it was kind of a trendsetter, but it's been discontinued. The rumor was, well, it was more than a rumor. There's a lot of supplier information to back this up, that a new vehicle was due in the next 2 or 3 years. As of today, new rumor that vehicle is off again. Part of what's going on here is that FCA, Fiat Chrysler, has just merged with PSA, which is Peugeot Citroën, to form a new company called Stellantis. and they are working through what they have. And I think a lot of plans are going to be backburnered while they decide where the best synergies lie.
So
okay,
so that's a no.
Off the table.
I don't know. I think it may actually be off, or it may appear as a lighter duty vehicle.
But at this point, it's sort of in a gray area.
It's very much a gray area. Yes.
All right, Gary. Thanks for calling.
Thanks. You bet. Thanks.
Conglomerates of U.S. originally based companies, along with companies that were based originally in Europe and you know other parts of the globe, bring a whole different dynamic into what the major decisions are as to what automobiles are going to be or not going to be manufactured. I would think. Is there any other relationship like that that you can comment on that is in currently having some sort of impact on the manufacture of a model that we do or do not know about?
Yeah, that's a great question. Renault-Nissan is an alliance as well, and it's not a full merger. They refer to it as the Renault-Nissan alliance.
Oh,
it also
okay.
includes Mitsubishi, which is a much smaller manufacturer. But the three manufacturers kind of divvy up the planet in special ways, with Nissan having its presence in the U.S., and of course Renault has no presence in the U.S. whatsoever.
Right.
However, Renault is going to be providing underbody work, the substructure or architecture, for upcoming Jeep products in the next generation. And what that architecture is capable of doing will very much affect what those Jeep products look and act like in the U.S., but the cost saving of not having to develop your own car from scratch is absolutely massive.
I can imagine. I saw, changing the subject slightly, I saw a picture today of a 2021 Ford F-150 hybrid pickup whose owner was using it to power his home in Texas, which I thought was a rather unique use of an automobile and some creative thinking on the owner's part. But that's not what we're talking about as far as electric vehicles are concerned. These, you know, his was a hybrid. And,
yes.
You know, the hybrid has been around for a while. What is causing the shift from the hybrid to just the total electric vehicle?
Yeah, hybrid technology is interesting in that we're probably going to stop using the word fairly soon. We're now using electrification. And electrification that is not full plug-in simply means that you're using an electric motor and a battery to provide some additional power. And that power is basically free because it is gathered from the action of braking. So when you brake, you're turning a motor or generator that stores some electricity in a battery, and you use that. So the Ford F-150, this is the first ever Ford hybrid pickup, is a step towards that. There is actually an electric F-150 in the works, and we should see that fairly soon. But the hybrid is not designed specifically or only to provide better fuel economy. It's really to provide additional power. And the electric motor provides a little extra horsepower, but considerably more torque, which is useful for towing and hauling and off-road use. And additionally, it makes the generator a very high-capacity generator possible.
That is, that's fascinating how this technology can be reapplied in manners that probably were not originally conceived of. Speaking of Ford, did I see a, this just popped into my head, did I see an ad for an electric Mustang?
That is the Mustang Mach-E, and yes, you
God.
Did.
I guess
the Mustang Mach-E is not actually the Mustang, the pony car sports car that we think of when we think Mustang.
Right.
It's a compact crossover that Ford is branding as Mustang to more or less get across to you that it is very sporty. And it is indeed sporty, but it is a small four-door crossover called the Mustang Mach-E, very fast. I'm driving one next week, otherwise
no
I could
kidding.
Talk about it right now, but I have not driven it yet.
Wow. What electric vehicles have you driven recently?
Most recently, I drove the Jaguar I-Pace. I have driven the... What did I drive most recently?
How was that Jaguar? How was that?
That is... It's a surprise. surprisingly poor seller, and I don't know why, except that maybe the styling is just a little bit anonymous, but it's incredibly fast and fun to drive.
How much does it cost?
The thing about electric cars is that they can be as fast as a manufacturer wants them to be, because electric motors are fairly compact, and they provide an incredible amount of torque right away in the rev range.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. A few years ago, told this story before, a few years ago, a friend of mine out in the West Coast had a Tesla, and I'd never been in one. And he goes, "Buckle your seatbelt." And he hit the power, and it threw me my head against the headrest. The acceleration was unbelievable. I mean, it was, and then there's no noise because there's no combustion going on with the engine. It really is bizarre. In a sense of when, you know, you grew up in a world of gasoline and all of that. And that, what about the vested interests? What about the gas lobby? What about the petroleum industry? What are they doing? I mean, they've got to be putting up whatever roadblock possible for this to go forward, or am I wrong?
That's a great question, and it's one that I'm having a hard time keeping track of. I know that ExxonMobil has been slow to move on doing anything that isn't petroleum, but in Europe especially, Shell, Dutch Petroleum, is actually investing heavily in electric charging stations and mobile charging services. But Shell's made a lot of news in the last year investing in green economy or renewable energy. So that's what they're doing. And British Petroleum, not too far behind. They've been making a lot of interesting investments as well. And I think we're going to see more of that. I don't know why ExxonMobil hasn't made too much news. They made a very small purchase of something recently that didn't impress shareholders very much. But yeah, to stay relevant, they're going to have to divest or invest in green technology. And I think we're probably going to start seeing more news very soon.
I'm wondering how long this would take to disseminate or, you know, trickle down, to, for lack of a better term, to, you know, small town, midtown, small town America, trucking, farming equipment, you know, everything that runs on gas. In the next 10 years, do you think all of that will have converted over to electric power?
No, I think over-the-road diesel tractor trailers will be among the last things to go. And one of the technologies that are being looked at there, Tesla's working on electrics for over-the-road trucks, but Toyota's doing some interesting work with fuel cells. And fuel cells are basically hydrogen-powered generators of electricity. So what you have is an electric vehicle, but your source of energy is basically hydrogen. And this works very well for big trucks because they have the space to store hydrogen. Mm. So you can have an electric truck that'll go 500-600 miles. And then filling hydrogen tanks is a relatively quick process relative to charging a battery. So this may work well for them. Now, the hydrogen infrastructure thing is a little thin, but if they can put them at places only where trucks go or at lots where they load or unload, that might work very well.
Well, pivoting completely, what are the best cars out now?
Wow, the best cars out right now.
In your opinion.
A very nice vehicle. That's the Genesis G80. Genesis is the luxury brand of Hyundai, and they're starting to make a little bit of noise. For a while, they just had a couple of sedans, but they've added a crossover to their lineup. But the G80 is kind of a nice deal. It's a largish, mid-sized sedan. Beautiful inside. The vehicle I drove was about $50,000. Looked for all the world like a $60,000 or $70,000 car. Like that an awful lot.
Well, you're the man with the answers, that's for sure. Wow, I can't believe you're on top of all of this stuff, but then that's what you do. Tom Appel is the publisher, Consumer Guide Automotive, and the blog consumerguide.com. Any final thoughts before we wrap it up?
If people are interested more in conversations like this, please check out our podcast. That is the Car Stuff, the Consumer Guide Car Stuff podcast. It's out every week.
Okay, I'm just checking with my producer. I think there might be a call coming in. Hold on a second.
Sure.
I gotta make sure. I see a light up on a switchboard, and I'm going to get, I believe, a answer. Am I taking a call here, Tom? Oh, okay. So let's go. This go to Stephen. Stephen, hello. You're on WGN. Thanks for calling.
Awesome. Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
You talked about electric vehicles and cars, and I've been working on a project over the last few years, kind of a solution to traffic in a way that focuses not so much on cars as the vehicle that's carrying people and a shared capacity. I was looking at a research study that programmed all the traffic data that Lisbon, Portugal has, and they showed that with like 100% shared fleet, you'd reduce the number of cars by like 90%. But they were using sedans, and I don't know if you'd like look into Uber at all, but that's kind of troublesome when you're sharing like a sedan with other people that you don't really know. Cars aren't really built for people like in a public sense.
Well, a little vehicles are, also a social distancing is a little difficult.
Yeah, it's a problem in a lot of ways. Like cars are built for families at most, like or friends and stuff. Like it's not for like sharing and like hopping in like some stranger's sedan and like going around. Like if you were going to build a shared system, like you'd use buses, like coach buses, like Greyhound buses, or like you'd rebuild buses and like open up like the floor space and like have like standing areas or seating and like toilets or like a porch out the back or something. Like,
well, thanks for calling, Steve. I'll try to get one of those and travel the country because I do. I love a vehicle with a toilet out the back. Tom, thanks so much for being with us, and we'll talk again to you soon.
Oh, the pleasure was all mine. Thanks a lot.
You bet.